How's that? Loud and clear. I even hear that. Nothing happened to Tressa. Our marriage is still good after 1 week, so don't worry. She's just packing in Cheyenne, which we'll be doing next week. And in 2 weeks, hopefully we'll be up here and unpacking. So she has a lot of stuff. It's just that we don't have a lot of time to do it. So it's coming together. So keep hearing the kids in prayer. They'll be coming back today, and they'll be here next weekend. So it'll be good. We are going to get back to Proverbs before we finish off Ephesians chapter 6. So if you want to open your Bibles to Proverbs 23. And as you've known, I had a long time to prepare for this sermon. It's been 3 weeks since I've actually preached. And that, believe it or not, that drives me crazy if I'm off longer than that. But travel, marriage, and life has come about. And these are things that couldn't be ignored, needed to be taken care of. But during that time, I continued to realize the vital importance that Scripture plays in our life. So today, as we take a stop in Proverbs 23 before moving on to the conclusion of Ephesians, we're going to look at the concept of motive. And defined motive means reason or cause, object, purpose, intention, drive, and aim. It directs your thoughts in your life. You have a motive. Specifically, in life and through the Word. That's what we're going to look at today. And the great importance and impact it plays in the life of any effective believer. And that's very important. As you cannot know what God wants you to do unless you read His Word and then are willing and obedient to do what it says. Motive takes participation in order for it to become a reality. Remember the key terms in the book of Proverbs. And as if you read Proverbs, you see these words pop up. Obviously, wisdom, because Proverbs is wisdom literature. Which, and Proverbs are general principles. These aren't ironclad promises. They're general principles. Wisdom, the ability to live life skillfully according to God's plan. And you see the word knowledge, instruction, and understanding repeated over and over. God's words are more than guidelines. They are only realized by a proper motive. Guys, we only realize who God is when we're motivated by Him and what He wants. I came across Psalm 33, verse 4 the other day, and it said, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all of His work is done in truth." I just love that. All of His work is done in truth. Proper or qualified legitimacy must be built and maintained upon the foundation of the Word of God by direct involvement in His will and in this world. Because it will always answer the questions, why am I here and what am I living for? Why am I here and what am I living for? Questions that forever remain undeniable and unresolved outside of the Bible. So Proverbs 23, we're going to take a look at motive, the proper guide, intent, and aim, and drive, and purpose of what to do and what not to do in order to stay on the path God has put forth. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You for this time. Open our hearts, open our spirits, that we may know what is the correct, proper motive through Your Word and the path that we should take. Reveal Your will to us and strengthen us as we move along doing what You desire, Lord. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln said that he could get any number of men who were willing to shed their last drop of blood. The problem, said Lincoln, was that he found it difficult to get anyone willing to shed the first drop of blood. Many a man or Christian, an individual, are very willing to attach themselves to a cause and name only, although much fewer to put in the effort to make it a reality in their own lives and impact the world. Henry Ford said, "You can't build a reputation on what you are going to do." And with that, the word motive is closely kin to intent. And many a person goes to bed with the best of intentions. I think all of us can attest to this. Boy, when I get up in the morning tomorrow, tomorrow we're going to do a lot, aren't we? Until it becomes today. But many a person goes to bed with the best of intentions, although they may be quickly laid aside due to some other circumstances. In Proverbs, I love Proverbs because they provide focus and a clear motive for the reader. Indescribable, seemingly random pieces of information, although when practiced, place your heart to move forward for God in places you never realized, because it's for Him and you all at the same time. God's Word gives you not only the reason to go, it becomes the aim of your soul. It motivates you, the soul. It aims your soul. Verses 1 through 3, as we get it, there's a lot of Proverbs. Don't worry, we'll get through them all. The last 7 or so just kind of flow together. But 1 through 3 said, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. The point of this proverb is to be careful when eating with an important or influential person, because he or she may try to bribe you, change your desires. And we need to consider our desires, for Satan's game is to train your aim, desires, and motives on those things that will move you away from God. See, Satan wants you to desire him. He doesn't come out and say that. He just moves you slowly in that direction. On your own time, just read in Psalm chapter 1, the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. It's two paths. Psalm 141:4 tells us, do not incline my heart to consent to or tolerate any evil thing or to practice deeds of wickedness. No matter how good something may appear, no good will come out of it. Ask God not only to change the level of your desire toward Him, but to keep it. We want to keep that in our hearts. Verses 4 and 5, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. It says your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Oswald Chambers said, I love this, He, meaning God, does not change human nature. Think of this. He changes its source and thereby its motives as well. God doesn't change human nature. He changes its source and then the motive as well. It's that inside outworking of the Holy Spirit. A lot of living has much to do with what you put your eyes on, such as verse 5, that which is not, as in comparison to that which is, the things that we want. Jehoshaphat, a prayer that he made in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12 was, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless against this great multitude which is coming against us. I love what he says here. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I think that carries a lot of weight in view of our current election. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's not a whole lot of great choices out there. But our eyes have to be on God. When you have a problem, don't look at the problem, look at God. Our eyes are on Him, that which is. We know who God is. Proverbs give us that ability to wash the world out by infusing God inward. And it's not a temporary fix, but like Oswald Chambers said, it's a permanent change. It's a permanent change. We're told by Jesus Himself in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Not might be, they shall be. They shall be. And just a brief touch on money in verse 5. Money's nice, it pays the bills and affords us things we desire. But as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Which is why Solomon says, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. You know, what's the saying? Easy come, easy go. Doesn't it seem like the money comes and it just flies away? Just like wings. verses 6 through 8. Do not eat the bread of a miser, or some of yours might say, he who has an evil eye, King James, I believe, might say that, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. The evil eye, we have to remember, from the eye to the heart, the gateway to your soul. What we see goes right into our hearts, guys. We have to be careful what we watch, what we hold, what we see, and what we do. That Sunday school song we sang, many of you weren't here, but it was, how did it go? I don't.
Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
What you see, yeah. What you hear, and then what you speak. Because what you see, what you hear, all of a sudden you're speaking it. Because it starts to gain traction in your heart. 2 Chronicles 12:14, and he did evil, speaking of one of the kings, because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Think of that. We do evil because we don't prepare our heart to seek the Lord. Seek him early in the morning. I think that's Proverbs 8:17. I'll get to that one later on. But Solomon asked, remember, Solomon didn't ask for riches. When you read it, he asked for a hearing heart. And it was from a prepared, rightly motivated, reasoned, well-aimed, and purposeful heart that he acquired great wealth. And it was later on in his life, if you want to read the book of Ecclesiastes, that he started to seek things on his own. Verse 8, jumping down back to that one, the morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Phony friends and friendships will both make you and the other person sick. Phony friendships. The cause is an evil or envious wicked heart, and words wasted on some people are just that. They fall on the wayside because some people just don't want to hear the truth. They're not interested in the truth. Verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Back to that. Some people just don't want to know the truth. Okay? When you say, I want to tell you about Jesus, they roll your eyes. Oh, really? So we have to live it for them. All they want to do is argue, and since time is precious and limited, don't waste your time talking to someone who just wants to quarrel. Okay? They only see you as you, your words as yours, not God, and there's no chance of interchange as they fall on the wayside. They fall on the wayside. So guys, if people that just want to pick a fight and quarrel, don't waste your time with them. Time is precious, very precious. Find the fertile soil. You know what? Oftentimes you say, well, I don't know where God wants me. It's right where he puts you, on the interstate, at a rally. Guys, there's so much ministry that goes on here. People say, oh, I don't like the rally. The bikers scare me. There are Christian bikers. And there's non-Christian bikers. We're to go out into the world. We got some cool keychains from the Christian bikers from South Africa on their way out. Yeah, so it was pretty cool. And he's like, you got a place to stay if you're ever here in South Africa. I'm like, well, I'm usually not in that neighborhood, but it's nice to know. I'm not very good on directions, but boy, I'd really have to get lost to get there.
So in the waiting room at the ER, there's Bibles put on by bikers.
Yeah.
I
was reading the devotional today, and it's interesting because I'm talking on motive, Proverbs 23, and it was from Creation, the one I get on my mail, the Institute of Creation Research, and it was talking about don't ask why. We shouldn't ask the why, because God, wherever we add, he'll answer. He's the only one who can properly answer the why, and it's through motives and purpose. So instead of asking why, God, why is this happening, I always say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you have me here for? My plane's delayed. What do you want me to do? I start looking around for stuff and just praying about what. Sometimes it's just reading his word. Other times it's walking around, or somebody will just come up to you and just start talking. Verse 10 and 11. Do not remove the ancient landmark, Old Testament stuff, nor enter the fields of the fatherless. But look at this. For their Redeemer, speaking of us too, is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. In Solomon's day, people were not to go into the fields of the fatherless to take advantage of the situation of people and rip them off, speaking of those who are slaves or in debt or a widow. And in our day, we're not to look at another's calamity as an opportunity to better our own situation. Okay? We're not to look at it that way. Or, another example of this, I thought of this, don't remove or replace God's plan for you. Okay? Don't put your own plan in place because you think it's better. Don't remove it. Because where you are and what you're doing for God is where you need to be. Walk. If you do that, you will walk right out of His protection and outside of His blessings. You know, you can do that. We can do that as believers. And along this line of reasoning, verse 12, I love this one. Apply your heart to instruction. Here's that word. And your ears to the words of knowledge. Notice how the heart comes first before the ear. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. The heart and the ears come together by the word, not the mind. Isn't that interesting? The heart, guard your heart, pay attention to your heart, because it is what God forges in you, and the mind forgets information. Who can attest to that? Yeah. If you can remember what you forget. I mean, I write a lot of notes these days. I love the note Tressa put on my towel when the kids were gone. Dave's towel. Because I've noticed that the towel I used to hang in my spot is usually gone the next day. So she put Dave's towel there. It was still there. I said, I appreciate that. But God's often, you know, God, guys, He forges our hearts. Psalm 33, verse 15, listen to this. He fashions their hearts individually. God fashions each of our hearts individually. He doesn't say, oh, these people, I'm going to work the same thing on them. We have the same Holy Spirit, the same God, but He uses individual talents and puts you where you're good at. If anyone's familiar with John Maxwell, I brought this up before. I used to think we should work more on the things that we're not as good at. No, spend 90% on your time of what you're good at. Because if you're not very good at something, chances are you'll never be really good at it. You'll just be average. So spend most of your time on what you're really good at. And that's what God usually will bring your heart to, what you're good at. I don't know how He used me as a pastor, because I could never speak in front of everybody. I'm still not very good at it. I mean, I got done with the Janet's memorial service the other day, and one of the ladies said, are you from Minnesota? I said, no, I'm not. Close, I'm from Wisconsin. She said, yeah, I could tell your accent. And I haven't even lived there for 10 years, but yeah, it's still there. Even though God uses my speaking ability for His glory. But the heart is known by God as it is made for Him and by Him. That's why we need our heart to come first before we hear. It's that reason, that motive, that cause, our aim. Verse 13, 14, do not withhold correction from a child. Okay, these are general principles. He's making a point here. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall not beat him. Wait, it says you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Okay, it's not talking about beating a child here. It's talking about training. And as a parent, how awesome and a responsibility you have of training the child carefully and consistently. Never train or discipline without instruction. Let the person know why you're doing this in any field, okay? Verses 15 through 18. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners. Notice the heart is just, through the word of Proverbs, is always central. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Looking down at verse 17, the word fear, do not fear. Don't fear God because you're intimidated by Him. We fear Him because we respect Him and we love Him. It's that reverence, that guidance that God gives our heart. Turn over to Psalm 31, the psalm that we read today. Part of it. Psalm 31. I encourage you, if you're not reading God's Word and you want to start reading it, start reading Psalms. Man, they are such a blessing, and read them every day if you can. Psalm 31, verses 19 through 20. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. I love that. How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear or respect you. God not only is individually forming our hearts through his respect, he's protecting them and laying things up for us. In verse 16, where it says, inmost being, a lot of you have a notation, it says kidneys, and you're like, well, why does it say kidneys? It's the deepest part of the human emotion, the kidneys. So when you see that in the Hebrew, that's what it means. And the Jews would know what that meant. So when it says kidney, it's the deepest seat of human emotion. Not our mind, our heart, it's the kidney, wherever the kidney is. They're the kidneys. They're back here, right? Okay, kidney punch, I got it. I did okay in science, but not the best, all right? So he's talking about how deep the heart and his thoughts are and how he will rejoice and when your lips speak the right things. In verse 17, don't let your heart be envious of sinners. Or Psalm 37:1, do not worry because of evildoers, nor be envious toward wrongdoers, okay? And it rolls right into verse 18, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Guarded hearts will not lose hope. When you lose your hope, we know this, when you lose hope in anything, that's it. It's done. There's nothing that you can do to really regain that. And when we guard our hearts out of reverence for God, when you start putting these verses together, your hope will not be cut off. It will not be cut off. It can't be cut off. Go to the ends of Romans chapter 8 and just read that. Verses 19 through 21, hear my son and be wise and guard your heart. Here it is again, in the way, do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Overdrinking, overeating, and oversleeping results in poverty both spiritually and materially. I say that spiritually, physically, materially. It's the one who seeks God early who finds him, Proverbs 8:17, which says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently will find me. It's a promise. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. Okay? It's not that he's hiding, but we want to desire relationship with him. I love these next verses, verses 22 through 25. Listen, I love that. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Verse 23. When I was reading through this, I said, the Holy Spirit told me, look at this word buy, because why buy the truth? It has to mean something. The Hebrew is kana, and it means to buy, to possess for oneself, to be the owner. We're to own for our own self the truth, and do not sell it. And look at what follows. All the words that are key to Hebrew. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Wisdom, living the way God wants us to live. Living skillfully, that's what it means. Instruction is moral discipline, and understanding is discernment. When you buy the truth, when you possess it and own it, you live skillfully. You have common sense. You have moral instruction. You know what's right or wrong, and you get the understanding, that discernment. When you look at something and you're like, meh, nope, I shouldn't go with my friends because they say, oh, we're going to go do this. I should just go do this. Or I'm not going to watch that movie because it's just not right. And you know how that's... Sometimes you watch a new show and you're like, man, this just isn't good for my soul. It just really hurts me. So you don't watch it anymore. When you buy or possess for yourself the truth and you do not sell it, you get this blessing. If you don't, your purpose, your goals, your aim will have nothing behind it, and your life will slowly run out of itself, leaving you hollow, without hope, and without purpose. You see that in the world today. It's running out of itself and running into every other thing that satisfies. Every other thing that satisfies. I mean, I just talked about transgender issues, but in the state of New York, there's 31 recognizable sexual orientations. 31. I thought there were two. But 31 as of right now. Recognizable, okay, sexes. Male and female, guys. Male and female. That's it. By the truth. God provides changes through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to possess His wisdom, instruction, and understanding, which leads to righteousness and right living. Verse 26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. I love that. Give me your heart and I'll give you the eyes to see. Oswald Chambers, from his devotional of July 26th, The Heart, he says, if I will simply hand myself over to Him, I will never, listen to this, I will never have to experience the terrible possibilities that lie within my heart. Purity is something far too deep for me to arrive at naturally. But when the Holy Spirit comes into me, He brings into the center of my personal life the very Spirit that was exhibited in the life of Jesus Christ, namely, the Holy Spirit, which is absolute, unblemished purity. End of quote. When God is not in the picture, the soul is aimless, and you will experience the terrible possibilities that lie within a heart. Worse, it latches onto that which is not true. An evil heart latches onto those things that are not true. It's more comfortable for it. So the object of love is God, and He alone provides the doing, and in the beginning, the middle, and the end, which leads to our hope of eternity. God is faithful in providing all the answers for living, if only the world was better at hearing, gathering in the heart, and then seeing and realizing that we aren't good on our own, okay? That we're good only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verses 27 through 28. For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait as for a victim and increases the unfaithful among men. This is an example of wrong motives, and they give bad directions, okay? When you have the wrong motive, you're going down the wrong path. And it looks for desires that aren't healthy but are temporary and seek bad as okay. Verse 29 through 32, these all kind of flow together at the end. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Once again, wrong motives, bad direction. Your eyes and heart are destroyed by that which does not satisfy. Substance abuse doesn't satisfy. Idol worship. People run. They run to look for something that'll satisfy, but unfortunately, it's temporary. It's temporary. And look at what it finishes up in saying here. Verse 33, your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like the one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like the one who lies at the top of the mast saying, they have struck me, but I will not hurt. Think of somebody who's under the influence of something. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? It's that endless pursuit. It's those things that don't satisfy. I don't drink as a pastor even one drop because I don't want to stumble somebody. It's okay to drink, not be drunk. But if anyone's in leadership, they can't be under the influence. We're at verse 33, your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. I'm to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, not anything else, okay? Not anything else, because I'm leading all of you. So I have a responsibility, okay? Is it okay to drink? I've already said that. It's okay to drink, not to be drunk. I just don't go down there because if I'm out and I have one, people see me. I'm not going to explain all the time or have a sign. This is my first beer, and then I have another one, and all of a sudden, number two, and then I'm done. It's just, I don't even do it. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Okay? That's the freedom we have. Just pulling this all together now. On June 13th, 1889, the Spokane newspaper printed an editorial pleading for the establishment of a fire department. Seattle had recently been ravaged by fire, and the paper desired to prevent the same calamity from happening in Spokane. Nothing, however, was done. 2 months later, Spokane burned to the ground. Desire, motive, aim, intentions. We always should ask, what are ours? Where is your gaze and what is your heart? We live in a world that is increasingly and demands their wisdom that replace God's. And the church listens and does nothing, and churches spiritually burn down. They burn down. Turn over one more verse. I'm going to make you turn to Psalm 27, verse 4. This is just a great verse. It kind of brings together the things our correct desires give us. And this is a good memory verse because it's a good reminder as we go through our day. It'll direct our motives and show us the blessings that we have. It says, one thing, David says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Think of that. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Think of that. You seek Him, desire Him. You get to dwell all the days of your life with Him, behold His beauty, and inquire of Him. I just love that. Beholding His beauty and inquiring. It's a great picture of the right motivations and right desires. Proverbs, the wisdom literature, general principles, the do's and don'ts of life according to God, that seeking dwelling every day and you behold the beauty of the Lord, and it's all up to you. Your motive and intent that fixes your aim in life, or it's in the strength of your wisdom. You think you have it all but possess absolutely nothing. That's the other path. God is not working toward a particular finish. Think of this one. His purpose is in the process of itself. Oftentimes people say, why am I here as a believer? I believe Jesus Christ. Why didn't you just take me up into heaven? Why am I supposed to be here? We know from Matthew 28, make disciples. It's the process. It's the reality. It's living that we know who God is and understands Him. The motivation makes you realize that God's purpose is to enable you to see that He can walk on the storms of your life right now. If you have a further goal in mind, you're not paying enough attention to the present time, but if you realize the moment by moment obedience is the goal, then each moment as it comes is precious. Is precious. And once you understand, this is Billy Graham, I brought this up in Sunday school, once you understand who Jesus is, you'll never again doubt the existence of God, okay? That's why it's so important to read your Bible. Understand who Jesus is. That's why when we witness to people, always point them to Jesus. Always point them to Jesus, because once you understand who He is, you'll never doubt the existence of God. And that's where Satan tries to knock us off. By this, your motivation is defined. Intent becomes clear in the moment, and your God clear as the future unfolds before you. And it's all done in His will and in His timing for His glory, yet His love always involves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you just for providing us with your word, the right motivation, those words to guide us, direct us, and hold us, Lord, as we respect and fear you and revere you. Lord, let us love you, and Lord, we give our lives to you, our hearts, our minds, our souls, and the rest will follow. Protect us, guide us, and strengthen us, Heavenly Father, and above all, give us a desire to seek you so we can behold who you are and, Lord, inquire of you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing, but then we should quickly pray, clear the chairs off, because that food smells really